As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Monday morning. We have all of your exciting weekend action in the association right here on the Athletic Podcast Network. My name is Jared Weiss. I am joined by the food connoisseur, the dinner master himself, Mo Dekeel. What's going on, Mo?
Not a whole lot. The pre-podcast meal today was the spicy shrimp ramen stir fry. So we'll see how my performance goes tonight on the podcast after all of that floating around in my little belly.
I love it. This guy, he's ambitious. He's willing to take risks, and we're going to take some risks here. We got Jade Hoy in the studio making sure this sounds nice and spicy for you. And before we get started, I want to make sure that you don't miss exclusive, in-depth coverage of this unprecedented sports season. So subscribe now and save to The Athletic by going to theathletic.com/dailyding, where you can receive an all-access subscription for just $3.99 a month. So coming up on today's show, we have some big-time debuts and returns from injury. Zion was flying high, and we had a horrifyingly beautiful Foxplosion in that game as well. But of course, we're going to start with the game that matters here. James Harden making his debut for the Brooklyn Nets. They win 122-115. We had James Harden with a 30-point triple-double in his debut for his new team, which is the first time it's ever happened, apparently. He had 32 points, 12 rebounds, 14 assists, 4 steals, and 9 turnovers. Almost pulled off a classic James Harden quadruple-double there. Kevin Durant in that game, 42 points and 5 dimes as well. Take the floor, Mo. Let's talk about James Harden.
Yeah, I mean, there was good and bad with this scenario. I think this is the first game. It's tough. Look, James probably didn't even know about a third of his teammates, you know, by the time the game was tipping off and was rolling. There were highlights in there. There were times where you saw the offense, wow, this thing really clicks. And then there are times where I looked at the defense and I was just like, man, the defense is tough. I mean, Jared, they gave up 115 points to the Magic. And I think the last time the Orlando Magic scored more than 100 points was in the year 2020. I don't think they've done it yet in 2021. I am stalling for a split second so I could pull up the data. Oh, man, I'm wrong. They scored 105 on January 6th. That was the last time.
But in the game, they had played. I was covering the game before that they played. They played the Celtics, and they got destroyed by the Celtics the night before. You know, maybe there's a little bit of a pick-me-up of trying to, you know, right the ship after getting killed the night before. But, like, still, this is a team starting Dwayne Bacon, Cole Anthony, and James Ennis.
Oh, this isn't trashing the Orlando Magic. It's trashing the Nets defense. I think you got lost there a little bit, Jared, with all this Magic talk here. The Nets defense is something that's really going to concern me. And I think ultimately it's going to be a question of, can their offense overpower the weaknesses on defense? Because you said it, no Kyrie yet. And when Kyrie comes, as much of a boost as that might be on the offensive end, you're adding another bad defender to the floor. Like, this is my concern with the trade. It's not what it does on the offensive end. On the offensive end, I think they'll figure it out with the three of those guys. They'll make it work some way, somehow. It's just, what are they going to do defensively? Because when I look at that and the rest of the guys on that roster, besides Durant, there's not a lot of guys I trust defensively.
No, you're right. And I mean, we were already concerned about their defense before they made the trade. And now Jared Allen is a Cav. DeAndre Jordan is starting for now, but I don't know if that's going to last. So they
he's not
have
closing the game. Like, he wasn't even in the closing lineup of this game.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like they're dependent on him all that much.
Sure. I mean, there's not really any room for them to fit Bruce Brown or TLC into the starting lineup, but who knows? Maybe they'll have to make it happen and turn Joe Harris into a six man just to have some form of defensive balance. But let's at least focus on the positive, which definitely wasn't those jerseys that kind of look like an acid wash Canadian tuxedo.
What? Shorts. You don't like? I want a pair of those shorts. What are you talking about?
Oh, man. I mean, I like the color scheme and the old school logo, but I'm not feeling the whole acid wash style or whatever that is.
Man, I need a new podcast partner. I can't deal with this incompetence.
Okay, well, the competence certainly was on the offensive end, where Harden, I thought, had a nice balance of going into a little bit of his usual isolation, but being a really willing pick and roll playmaker who the way that he was connecting with his teammates on these passes, he did not look like somebody who had just came to a team all of a sudden. I mean, he does have experience with Jeff Green, at least from last year. So you can see their pick and pop game was really well connected, but his ability to fit in so seamlessly right away, I thought was a really great sign for them.
Yeah, and I thought this was a little bit of, I'm the new guy, I'm going to make sure everybody loves me. I'm very curious what's this going to look like in March, you know, and how that flows. Will it be better? Will he be almost less willing and trying to score more? Like, that's the thing. I'm not surprised by him really looking to pass to his teammates early in this run and trying to experiment. But Jared, there was one key play that I thought is really kind of the reason why you make this trade. And it was on the offensive end. The possession started with the ball in Durant's hands. He's getting double teamed because the team's trying to get the ball out of Kevin Durant's hands because he's a pretty damn good ball player.
Makes sense.
He kicks it to Joe Harris. Harris drives on the closeout. He kicks it to Harden. Harden's waiting for a second, holds up the defense. And as soon as the defense just takes a step towards him and away from Durant, he swings it to Durant for a bucket. Like, that's kind of the deal. Like, it's a pick your poison offense. And that's without Kyrie even on the floor. And I think that I saw that and I said, this is everything they're hoping for on the offensive end for the Nets. And that's going to be the key for them offensively and what they're going to be looking for.
Well, the Nets, with hopefully Kyrie Irving playing, take on the Bucks Monday night. That is going to be worth watching. Let's head out to the Rockies, where the Jazz outlasted the Nuggets 109-105. This was a really fun game to watch. It's a rematch of last year's first round series that went 7 games. And the Nuggets, they really struggled against the Jazz's pick and roll, which was really firing in this one.
Yeah, it was really interesting to watch. It was just the weak side help was never on time in those rotations. I mean, they got so many buckets just rolling to the rim. Gobert had easy runs. Favors had easy looks. Like, this kind of was just one of those things. I was watching it going like, man, the Nuggets need to start figuring this out.
Yeah, and Gobert had a really nice night around the rim. I mean, there was one play in the third quarter where Paul Millsap rejected a nice, like, cut floater layup right at the rim, and then the ball just went right to Gobert, who threw it down. I mean, there's a lot of just being 7'2" and near the rim was definitely working very well for him. And couple that with Jordan Clarkson scoring in isolation so well in this game, and also a lot of the pressing that Utah was doing. They were putting a lot of pressure on Denver in the backcourt, even forcing some turnovers. I mean, Utah was just playing with that energy.
Yeah, I mean, they came in with the juice and they've been playing well all week, and they brought it tonight, and this game meant more to them. And it's not a matter of like they wanted it more, but it just kind of meant more. And this is an important matchup when you think about when we're going to look at seeding down the road. This is going to be a thing where we're going to be able to point back to this game going like, man, if the Jazz win this season series, they could be in a better position come playoff time. And I think that's going to matter. That's why these games are really important, no matter where they are in the schedule, early in the year, middle of the year, or towards the end.
For sure. And I mean, the Nuggets guys that are supposed to deliver, they delivered. You had Jokic, 35 points, 14 boards, 9 dimes, 6 turnovers. Jamal Murray, he had 30 points, though on 11 for 27 shooting, which I guess is not out of the ordinary for Jamal Murray. But when you're watching this Denver team, where you know you're going to get some big nights out of those guys, and you're just looking for someone else just to have, you know, a good night being able to create, or just having a hot night from deep. And this was not one of those nights for them.
Yeah, it was a tough night. I mean, they were missing Michael Porter Jr., who's still out in the COVID protocols. I think that's the third guy, right? Like, that's the guy they would expect to get scoring on a regular basis. But it's tough to win nights when the other team gets, you know, 23 from Clarkson off the bench and 11 from George Yang and, you know, just 3 from Favors, but the other guys made up for it. You know, when they're getting that kind of contributions, it's hard to match, you know. And the Jazz all around had 6 guys in double figures, like just a very balanced attack tonight from the Jazz that kind of slowly wore down the Nuggets.
And the amazing thing is the Nuggets lost a game where Gary Harris hit a clutch 3-pointer. You figure if you can get that out of Gary Harris, and you've got to win the game. But what did you think of at the end there where PJ Dozier tried to take that charge, but it got called a block?
I mean, it's the toughest call. Like, it's literally a bang, bang. Could have gone either way. I know the Nuggets challenged it, and it's probably just not enough to overturn. Just because for me personally, Jared, I want a more entertaining game. I wish they called it a charge so that it could be the Nuggets ball down 3. But that wasn't really the case. And I didn't think it had much of a chance to be overturned. There wasn't like indisputable evidence that the referees got it wrong.
Yeah, I didn't really see anything there. Ding, ding. We got a lot of news to get to from this weekend. So first thing is a potential change to rosters in the middle of the season, something I've never heard of before. The NBA is in talks with the MBPA, according to R. Shams Charania, about adding an additional roster spot, likely a third two-way player. We actually have a story up on The Athletic you definitely want to read, talking to coaches and GMs around the league of what they think of this proposal. And it's not quite as straightforward as you would think. So a lot of interesting angles to that one. So stay tuned, because probably a decision will be made on that in the next week or so. And the reason why is because there were a lot of cancellations in the past week. There were 15 of the 16 cancellations that have happened so far this season coming over the past week. We had on Friday, the Wolves and Grizzlies had to postpone their game because the Wolves could not field an 8-man roster. Karl-Anthony Towns then revealed on social media that he had COVID in a really heartbreaking statement that is really worth reading just to remember just what has been happening with Karl-Anthony Towns over the past year. He's had several family members pass from COVID, and he's been very remarkably vulnerable and honest about what that has been like. But that was not the only game that got postponed. We had Indiana and Phoenix postponed on Saturday, and then Cleveland, Washington, and Philly OKC were both postponed on Sunday. Washington GM Tommy Shepard revealed that the team has 6 positive cases right now, which is, I think, the most that we've had of any team, at least as far as we are aware of, so far this year. Cleveland, Washington, they were doing a back-to-back miniseries, so on Monday, they are also going to postpone that game. So we'll have 16, I believe, total once we've gotten through Monday. That's a lot of postponed games, Mo. So Isaiah Thomas was even in the news saying that he's talking to teams about making a potential return. There are a few open roster slots out there, but we did have some big returns this weekend. We had Kristaps Porzingis finally returning on Friday, played a pretty decent game on Sunday in a Mavericks loss. Kemba Walker, he made his season debut after a 3-month knee rehab process. He was kind of all over the place, had a bunch of turnovers, but also made a few nice plays in Boston, getting absolutely shellacked by the Knicks in what was by far the worst game of the weekend. And then even Ja Morant made an early return from a grade 2 ankle sprain and helped lead the Grizzlies to a 106-104 win over the Sixers on Saturday. But let's talk about Kristaps, because that is the big variable, right? I mean, we've seen Luka is continuing to put up massive numbers. Rest of the Dallas team hasn't been really quite at the same level that we feel like they probably were last year, especially in the playoffs. At least from what you saw so far, how do you feel like this team can put it together now with KP back?
Yeah, I mean, they're also another one of these teams with several guys out with COVID. But once they get everybody back, I think we're going to see some a nice run from the Mavs. You know, their defense, not today, they got kind of crushed today by the Bulls, but their defense overall has improved. And I think once they're healthy again, I think there's no reason for that to continue. And having a guy like Porzingis just kind of creates more space for Luka to get going and get downhill and opens more doors for this team. So I won't be surprised to see once they get right and get everybody on the court together, that it won't be long for them to kind of just fly up the standings and rattle off a few wins.
Sure. And we know how hard it is to guard that team when Luka's able to just run a pick and pop and kick it back to a 7'3" shooting guard out there. So that definitely makes life a little bit easier for him. So, you know, we had the James Harden trade, and one of the things that was a surprise from that trade was, wow, they really picked all those picks over Ben Simmons. Well, according to a report from, I believe, Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Sixers thought they had a done deal for Harden to the point that Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybulle were told that they were going to be or to prepare for, to be traded. And allegedly, Houston Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta refused to trade Harden to Daryl Morey. And now we see that James Harden is a net. So that was a very fascinating report to come out after that trade, I guess, fell through on their ends. And then last piece of business from that trade did be was held up a little bit because of the end of the trade that sent Victor Oladipo to Houston and Caris LeVert to Indiana. Unfortunately, an MRI that was done for Caris LeVert's trade physical found that he had a growth in his kidney, and it's currently unknown what that means for his future, and they're going to be running more tests. Hopefully it turns out to be something relatively benign, but it did result in Indiana getting a little bit of small draft compensation additionally to complete the trade.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Our last game of the night takes place in Sactown, where the Pelicans beat the Kings 128-123. And wow, this was an exciting one. A battle between two of the most exciting athletes in the NBA, De'Aaron Fox and Zion Williamson. Zion, he had 31 points on 13-for-15 shooting. And that should be the most remarkable stat line of the night. But we had De'Aaron Fox scoring 43 points and having 13 assists and four steals to go along with that. Mo, this was youth athleticism at its very finest.
Yeah, no, this was a fun game to watch between this as bright stars in our league with Fox and Zion. I mean, you touched on Zion going 13-15 for 31 points. Like, he was just a beast. And then you had, De'Aaron Fox with another just monster dunk down the lane.
in crunch time. It seems like that's happening every single time that there's a close game. He goes into this kind of, full steam ahead mode where he just keeps exploding through the defense, whether it's in transition or in the half court. I mean, he's playing with a level of conviction, a level of aggressiveness that I think is kind of a revolution from where he was before.
Yeah, I mean, he's growing as a player. I mean, he's in his third or fourth year in the league. Like, he's growing. You're watching it blossom. I think he's doing a better job of getting into the offense, understanding what's going on in the game, and getting them moving. So, it's not a surprise, Jared, to see him kind of this stuff slow down. But ultimately, here's the thing. The Kings aren't going to win games if they don't play defense. And they're not playing defense at all this season.
Yeah, that was a concern. I mean, you got Buddy Hield out there. You've got Marvin Bagley out there. Those two guys have not been known for their defensive efforts. I mean, but you also had Rashawn Holmes was kind of getting toyed with a little bit by the Pelicans driving and then dump offs and stuff like that. I mean, Steven Adams, he had the free throws ice the game at the end there, but they were able to get a dump off through the lane and he drew the foul. It just their rotations and their ability to protect the paint is just kind of completely off at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they got a long way to go defensively. I remember, like, early in the year, there were questions like, can the Kings make it interesting and find a way into the playoffs? And just watching their defense, it's right now it's a no.
And, I'm not the kind of person to get all excited about highlight plays, but Zion, he had one dunk on Chimezie Metu out of the post where I think he got his, like, eyes over the rim, or he must have got his forehead at least up to the rim on that one. And then he had like a Dr. J-esque kind of like when Dr. J had that great from behind the backboard finger roll on Kareem. He had a play almost like that. I think we're starting to see Zion get a better feel for how to utilize his ability to just hang in the air, where he's no longer just throwing himself right into people, but he's finding ways to kind of get around them and then just be able to live in that airspace in a way that just nobody can really contest him.
Yeah, we're seeing a healthier and Zion, I think, and a little bit of a better understanding on the offensive end in terms of, how he can move and all of that. I think it all stems at the end of the day, Jared, to just, feeling confident in his body that he can move this way. Because this is some of the moves he was making at Duke, right? Like, this was the agility we saw that we were expecting more last season that we weren't able to get as he was coming back. And I think, we're beginning to see all the stuff of like, oh, yeah, that's Zion.
Yep, that is Zion. When you see someone do something and you're like, how is that possible? You're like, oh yeah, that's Zion. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget about all the other basketball shows across the Athletic Podcast Network. We still have your favorite shows like The Athletic NBA Show. We have No Dunks. We have House of Strauss. Plus over a dozen team-specific shows available from some of your favorite Athletic beat writers. And don't forget to follow on the app where you can get notifications for new episodes. And you can utilize the podcast episode comment section. And if you're not a member of The Athletic, you're in luck because you can get all of our podcasts ad-free. Plus some fantastic writing across all major sports, all for a super low price. Just get a subscription today at theathletic.com/dailyding. And you never know when these promos end, so you better get there soon. And we want to thank you for waking up with us. Let's get out of here, Mo.
Ding, ding.